Welcome to the jungle. We start hour number two. Hope you had hour number one. I took a lot of time to lay out what I thought about Tiger Woods winning the Masters and what a tremendous accomplishment it was. And then I took some time to point out the dopes that are trying to ruin it. The Tiger Bros, the Tiger Honks, by acting like they knew that this was going to happen, by acting like they're somehow owed an apology, by acting like they did it themselves. Don't ruin it for so many people who want to enjoy it. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Robert Lucetich expertly broke down the weekend. We had him on in hour number one. We're going to talk NBA basketball with Terry Stotts, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, in about 15 minutes. We'll get to the NHL. Kevin Weeks, former NHL goalie and an NHL Network analyst, will join me at the top of hour number three, reading some more of the reaction. And I would love to take reaction on the calls or on the phones, but you got to step it up. This is all reaction that I've screened out that makes the show better. Dear Jim, of course, all the Tiger Woods honks, fanboys, and other assorted nerds are going to try to jump on Tiger's Masters win. I'll bet that if I walked in on any of the local driving ranges, public courses, and shops here in the Columbus area, I would see at least two dudes decked out in the black Nike cap, the red Nike shirt, and a pair of black trousers. Hey, geeks, Tiger won the Masters, not you. George in Seabus. Let's take a look across the glass. There's a nerd in a black hat and a red sweater. Hawk! Go ahead, Adam. Put the headphones on over your black hat with the Nike swoosh. What's up, nerd?
What's up, Jim? How are you?
Good, bag. How about you?
Dream day, part two.
All right, so you're going to live this thing up. Let me ask you, a caller brought this up, and I think it's a fair question. When you look back at the amazing things that have happened in your life, the day you were married, the birth of your kids, the day you got hired here, where do you rank yesterday's win, something that you had absolutely nothing to do with?
It's number one in my life, absolutely. Better than the wedding, better than the kids being born. It was an unbelievable feat that we, Honk Nation, have been waiting a long, long time for. You know, I didn't wait 11 years to get married. I didn't wait 11 years to have kids. Those things just kind of happen when they happen. We waited a long time for
this. Did you just say your marriage and your kids were a mistake?
No, not a mistake. Just not something that I was looking forward to for my entire adult life, if you will. Those things just naturally happen as you get older and as you progress in life.
What do you think your wife and kids are going to think and say to you when they hear that?
I really hope my wife is not listening, and I hope that my kids don't go back on Stucknut and listen to this. Honestly.
Oh, they will. They will. They will. So, I mean, I'd love to say this is some kind of lame bit that you're playing along for content, but I believe you. I really think this is like the highlight of your life.
It really was. And yesterday...
Hawk, you have nothing to do with it. You didn't do anything.
Well, I stuck by him for all these years, and so I felt like I did a lot. And after he won, I got this bond with my mom over Tiger Woods. She loves him. She got me into him. So I called her and I said, Mom, I love you. I can't believe this happened. This is the greatest thing ever. And the other voice on the other end of the line said, this isn't your mom. This is your wife. You dialed me, not your mom. And my wife couldn't care less, so that phone call went really poorly. And then I said, okay,
you better hope
go.
She still is your wife after this talk. Did you and your mom cry together?
She was in Seattle, and my dad reports that she did cry. My dad is heinously embarrassed by both of us. He hates golf. He hates Tiger Woods. He thinks this whole thing is just...
Your dad sounds like an amazing guy.
He is.
I love this guy.
He loves you, too. He watches every day. He's a big Jim Rome fan, but he cannot stand golf.
Is he an Adam Hawk fan?
Yeah, he is. He just hates this part. He told me he was going to call Child Protective Services on me because I sent him a video of me and my two kids watching the Masters on Saturday, and he said, I got CPS coming over.
Not baggy at all. Not baggy at all. Hawk, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
31?
Yep.
So you're an adult male who still cries over Tiger Woods.
And dressed like him today to work.
You're a bag, too. Yeah, dressed exactly like him. You got black trousers on, too.
Hang on.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
The guy. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Would you stop embarrassing me, Hawk? Thank you for very little. You had nothing to do with it. When I said you had nothing to do with that, why are you reveling in this? Why are you and your mother crying on the phone? Because I stood by him for 11 years. Because I wanted this so badly. Yeah, but where does that rank compared to getting married and having kids? Oh, above that. How can you say that? Because I never wanted or waited my whole life to get married. I didn't wait 11 years to have kids. They just came out. Hawk, you've said a lot of stupid things on this show, but maybe nothing as dumb as that. Good luck. Hey, Jim. This is an email. Hey, Jim. Unwar Hawk and Keith seeing each other in the studio this morning and yelling, "We did it! We did it!" Seriously, though, say what you want about Tiger, good, bad, or indifferent. The Masters will go down as one of the best ever. That Masters. Congrats to the cat. Oh, and one more thing. Before we forget, happy tax day. Yours, D. Trejo, Tommy Lee Jones, and Eddie Olmos. He went tax day, T-A-C-K-S. Like somebody blasted a bunch of tax into their face. Get it? Benito Santiago didn't want any of that. Signed Michael in Buffalo, assisting them. Wore the Woodscopes. Haven't heard anything about the Woodscopes lately. At Mock Moda tweets, Rome, Green Jackets don't make us cry. Blue Jackets do. Signed Tampa Bay Lightning fans on the verge of being swept in the first round. Well, I'll get there. So the NBA playoffs. I started this weekend, and one game into every series, I can say just one thing. Dang. The hell is that? There was Orlando beating Toronto in game one and ripping home court on this shot.
Arms extended. Augustine five to shoot. He's got to find something. He will. Three ball straight away. It's up. It's in. How about the little Longhorn? Triple try. Yes, sir. Magic lead 104-101. 3 seconds left in the game. Timeout, Toronto.
There was that, and there was Philadelphia. And 76er Amir Johnson breaking out a cell phone on the bench during the game. While the Sixers were getting broken by the Nets. I'm not exactly sure what the code is in basketball, but I'm pretty sure the code does not involve bringing cell phones or iPads to the bench. And certainly it's not about checking them during a playoff game. Man, that is a bad look. Really bad look for what I thought was going to be a really good team. And a bad loss. A horrible loss, in fact. And then there was Patrick Beverley going Patrick Beverley on Kevin Durant. I have never been as into a 6'1 v 6'9 7-foot matchup as I am this one. Because they were going at it all game long. Pat Bev doing what Pat Bev does, getting under your skin, mocking Durant for how he reacted to a foul. And then with less than 5 minutes to go, in that game one blowout, it blew up.
Beverly. This time Durant, and a foul call on Durant, who barks at him. Durant, they're both out. They've both been just thrown out of the game. Double technicals, which is automatic because it's a second check for both. Quick ejection. Ed Malloy wasted no time. They've obviously been warned with that first double technical, and it was starting to get out of hand between those two.
So Kevin Durant pushed Pat Beverley out of bounds and then stood over him, and then Beverley jumped right back up and tried to get in his grill. And I'm not sure what was better. Them jawing at each other, or Draymond Green getting so fired up that Durant was so fired up. It was so good. It was outstanding. And for a series that could be over pretty quickly, now we've got a whole new level of drama. And all that was on the first day of the postseason. Because yesterday brought Milwaukee embarrassing Blake Griffin-less Detroit. It also brought this thunder from Giannis.
Five straight threes to begin the third quarter. It has been incredible. Here he comes again.
Oh, goodness.
And the Greek basketball god raining down on the Pistons.
He got the ball at the Detroit three-point line. He took one dribble, and then he took off. Or he took off from just inside the free throw line. That was like a slam dunk contest dunk in a playoff game. And he covered about three quarters of the court with one dribble and one leap. If they want to stop that game and give him the MVP trophy and the dunk contest trophy, I would have been fine with that. But even that was not the biggest moment of the weekend. There was also Portland getting 20 and 18 from Enes Kanter as they beat his own team, his former team, Oklahoma City, 104-99. And it wasn't just his double-double. He was also huge on the defensive end as well. It was a monstrous performance. Game one of a series is never a must-win, but you know that meant a lot to Portland, considering everything they've been through this season and the fact that it snapped a 10-game playoff losing streak. But Cantor, as good as he was not the star of the game. It wasn't even Damian Lillard, who went for 30, including a ridiculous three in the fourth, or even CJ McCollum with 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. The real star of that game was somebody else. It was none other than Jennifer, a.k.a. at Chalk Delight 1980. Remember, she tweeted at CJ back in August to, quote, win a playoff game and then talk. CJ dropped the now legendary response, I'm trying, Jennifer. So CJ was asked about her after that game.
CJ, do you have anything you'd like to say to Jennifer?
No, man. I appreciate her. She's probably a nice young lady.
And then tweeted, quote, I almost forgot you, Jennifer. You a legend. Truth, she is a legend. And Jennifer was taking a victory lap. Jennifer tweeted, quote, you're welcome, Portland. So good. She also tweeted, quote, all types of fans have at me on Twitter talking about, can you talk to the Lakers for me? Please have a talk with Andre Drummond. Talk to the Bulls. Y'all too funny, Jenny, the playoff whisperer. Of course, everybody's hitting her up right now. She gets results. And by the way, talk to the Lakers. LA should hire Jenny. She delivers. Jenny would probably get more out of the Lakers than Irvy did. Hell, she's involved in more playoff wins than the Lakers have had in 7 years. Sign her up. You won't regret it. And one more thing about the Lakers. Why the hell are they looking for a head coach instead of somebody to come in, kick some ass, clean up that joint, establish a culture, and run basketball operations? Shouldn't they find that person first and then let that person hire the coach? Or have you already decided that Rob Pelinka is that guy and that LeBron is going to hire the coach? Because that's sure as hell how it looks. And if you do that, you're not changing anything at all. And if you're not changing anything at all, you're going to remain the lottery living embarrassment that you are right now, looking up at almost everybody else in the association. Telling yourselves over and over again, we're the Lakers, we're the Lakers, has gotten you nothing but repeated trips to the lottery. Right now, the LA Clippers are twice the organization that the Lakers are. Lob a phone call to Jenny. Can't hurt. It'll probably help. When we return, Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts joins us. That's next. Some folks like to shop in a store. Others prefer to do their shopping online. But no matter how you like to shop, when it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have everything you need under one single roof, virtual or otherwise, from batteries, brakes and belts, to filters, transmissions, ignitions, and shocks. O'Reilly does have it all. They even have a full range of farm and agriculture heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, and with brands you trust, like Wagner Brakes, Minro Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They even get those hard-to-find parts, most with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in a store. Car lovers love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and now you can earn O-Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get $5 in rewards for every 150 points you earn. So visit O-Rewards.com and become an O'Reilly O-Rewards member today. O-Rewards.com to become an O'Reilly O-Rewards member right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Spent the first hour talking Masters. We are spending this chunk of this hour talking NBA playoffs. We're joined right now by the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, seventh season with the Blazers. He was named Western Conference Coach of the Month twice this season. The only current NBA coach to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons. Portland beat Oklahoma City 104-99 yesterday. They have a 1-0 series lead. Oklahoma City is at Portland tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Blazers head coach Terry Stotts. Terry, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, we can talk about the Masters if you want.
So what do you think about the Masters, Terry? Did you spend much time watching it? What was your reaction?
It was incredible. It was good for the game, obviously. Happy for Tiger and all the trials and tribulations he's been through over the past few years, and to reach this, I couldn't have been happier for him. It was a great sports moment.
I appreciate your thoughts on that. It was a great sports moment. It really was. All right, so you're coming off a win over Oklahoma City in Game 1, Terry, 104-99. I understand that's only one game, but every game in the playoffs is important. How big did that win feel to you?
Well, you're right. Every game's important. When you have home court, there seems like there's a little more pressure to win that first game. You know, you saw on Saturday how many home teams lost on that first day. And, you know, with our history being swept the last 2 years, having home court last year, I think that was probably in the back of everybody's mind. But, you know, it's going to be a tough series. Last night was competitive. It was physical, and I don't anticipate any changes going forward.
Blazers head coach Terry Stotts joins us once again. Enes Kanter had 20 points. He had 18 rebounds, including two huge offensive boards and a left-handed layup in the final minute and a half of that game. Man, how big was he for you last night?
He was, like Dame said after the game, he's our MVP. He did a lot of the dirty work. He had 20 points, and I don't know if we ran a play for him. He's involved in pick and rolls. He gets offensive rebounds. He just seems to make plays. To get 18 rebounds against a team like Oklahoma City, to get seven offensive rebounds against a team like Oklahoma City, really speaks, I think, a lot to his work ethic and just his grittiness.
You know, and Terry's so big on defense, too. Like, he had a reputation on defense, especially in the postseason. I know you've heard about that reputation. In your mind, how fair was the reputation?
Well, I don't know. You know, he's been in the league for a while, so I don't know how he was in Utah and Oklahoma City. All I can speak of as to what he's done for us, and he's given great defensive effort. He's really been locked into our schemes and what we want from him, and he's doing his best to do that. And I think everybody can certainly improve, but certainly based on what I've seen here with us, he's not the defender that everybody said he was.
Terry Stotts joins us. Terry, you mentioned Dame. Damian Lillard said this after the game, and I quote, "What Mo does, what Chief does, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Before the end of the game, I just told them I love you all. A lot of things they do go unnoticed," end quote. What does that tell you about Dame as a leader and the bonds on this team?
Well, I've said this for a long time. I think Damian Lillard is the best star leader in the league. He just does it every day. He does it by example. He does it by the things he says in the media, just like that quote. He appreciates his teammates. His teammates appreciate him. You know, I can go on and on about Damian's leadership. And a lot of times I think it gets overlooked because, it's just because of the dynamic sometimes. There's not a lot of drama here. We just go about our business and have a great culture, which he leads. For him to say that about Dame and Chief, Mo and Chief, it's true. Those guys, this is the fourth year that both those guys have been here. They've been an integral part of what we've done the last 4 years. And when you see it every day, when you see it every game, we all appreciate it here.
We're talking Blazers basketball with the Blazers head coach, Terry Stotts. And then, Terry, there's that Dame shot, right? With a one-point lead. Less than 2.5 minutes to go in the game, he pulls up from beyond deep. He drains that three. What did you think when it left its hand? And then what did you think when it went down?
Well, you know, when he gets clean looks, I think it's going to go in, you know, and along the lines of Steph Curry, you know, those guys are unique shooters that if they are open, you think it has a chance to go in. And, Dame started the game with one of those shots, and almost appropriate that he nearly finished the game with one of those shots.
Now, you held OKC to 15% from three, and in particular, Paul George was just 4 of 15. What was your approach on defense last night?
Well, the three-point shot in general, and Paul George particularly, was a focal point, and I'm sure Oklahoma City will look back on some of those shots saying we had good shots, but those were two of our priorities, defensive priorities going into the game, was trying to be aggressive with George and not letting him have clean looks. And to be honest, I thought he had too many clean looks for my liking, but it was to compete. And as a team, they didn't shoot the three well. And, you know, I don't think that they'll shoot it that poorly very often, but at least for one game, that was important. And, you know, we looked at the four games that we played them during the regular season. The three-point line was pretty much the determining factor in all four games. We didn't shoot it particularly well, and they shot it well. So the script kind of flipped in this game.
No doubt. Blazers up on OKC, one game to none. Terry Stotts joining us. You know, Terry, the team has battled a number of key injuries this year, including the recent loss of Nurk. You know, I'm curious, how tough has that been for you and the players, and not just from a performance standpoint, but also from an emotional standpoint?
Well, you're right on both levels. I think, first of all, from an emotional level, Nurk is such a good guy, a good teammate, and when you see a guy like Nurk, who's been around and been around the team for a couple years, it's everybody's a little heartbroken, not only for us, but for him. And he was having his best season of his career. I think when you look at a basketball standpoint, he was arguably our second best player, and what he did at both ends of the floor, his plus minus, how the team performed when he was on the court. So it was a blow, and the fact that CJ was out at the same time, I'm really impressed how our guys were able to come together and keep competing the last 10 games of the season with basically those two guys being out.
I would imagine it was great also when Nurk showed up the film session on Sunday. You know, this seems like a really obvious thing to ask or to say, but how different is coaching during the playoffs versus coaching in the regular season? I mean, obviously there's a huge difference between seeing different opponents each time out versus the same one for a series, but how different is the in-game coaching aspect?
Well, I think it changes as the series goes on. Each team, you know your opponent pretty well going into game one, obviously game two, but by the time you get to game three, four, five, there's not a lot of newness or freshness to it, so it's about competing. Playoff basketball, you're not managing the season. A lot of times, you know, fatigue, you have no back-to-backs, travel is minimal, so you're able to just focus on a game. The entire team is locked into the task at hand. You know, I don't think there are any really side issues about playing time and any other drama that you might come across during the regular season. Everybody has a singular focus on what it takes to win that next game.
So what's the biggest key in your mind ahead of game two?
Well, I don't think from a defensive standpoint, the priorities are the same. They had 25 points in transition. That's too much. They had 21 second chance points. That's too much. You know, that's almost half their points right there in what we call easy baskets. So limiting those, we have to do a better job. Paul George and the 3-point shooting will still be a focus. And, you know, offensively, I think we can still execute better. We got off to a great start. We were hot from the 3-point line, but we had to grind it out for the next three quarters. So understanding we can execute a little bit better in the half court.
Terry Stotts, my guest. Before I let you go, how about last week the league said goodbye to Dirk? You coached him in Dallas. What was it like to work with Dirk, just being around him?
You know, Dirk is really special to me. He's everything has been said about him, but he was the ultimate professional. He's the ultimate competitor. But what I liked about him most was who he was as a person. He was good to everybody, had a great sense of humor. You know, it couldn't have happened. The way things turned out for him couldn't have happened to a better person. And, you know, his basketball accolades all speak for themselves. But as a person, I feel very fortunate to have known him.
Yeah, such an amazing guy. Such a great, great, great guy. And also, Terry, an amazing work ethic too, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he had it when I forget how old he was. So that was, you know, 10 years, 7, 8 years ago. So he was still in his early 30s. But, you know, the story of his work ethic is legendary. What he would do in the summer, what he would do in his early years with Steve Nash and coming back at night. You know, he worked extremely hard to get to where he was. You know, he struggled his rookie year. It was a lockout year, and ever since then, he turned it around, but his work ethic never changed.
Appreciate your thoughts on him and everything else. Portland beat Oklahoma City 104-99 yesterday. They're up 1-0 in that series, and game two is tomorrow night at Portland. Terry Stotts, my guest. Terry, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Good luck, Terry. They're up 1-0, and that's a big, big win for them. Figures to be a long series, a long competitive series. All right, so we're open now until the top of the hour, meaning next segment is a fat segment, an open segment. Kevin Weeks at the top of hour number three. In fact, I probably will change up and talk a little hockey when we come back to get ready for that interview. Quick reminder, Alvin, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football crew as they dig deep into the upcoming NFL draft. They're going to break down the blue chippers and all the speculation about where the game's new superstars may end up, and only right here on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. It is time for your bottom-of-the-hour sports update. Here it is. Rich Ackerman reporting for...
From Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, once again, you want to hit me up on Twitter because you might get your tweet read on the air, but as a byproduct of that, I'm watching CBS Sports Network on the roll-in. They do put up their own tweets. The folks back in New York will select tweets of their own, and they do bump them in. So that's another way you can build your brand. Follow me on Twitter. There is no reason not to. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet at Jim Rome. I might read your tweet. I might retweet your tweet. And the production crew back in New York with CBS Sports Network may put your tweets up too. This email says, Romy, I knew you would be upset with the Hawk today. It had me rolling. Excellent takes, boss. Signed, Dave. I mean, I'm not upset. Put it this way. I'm not upset. I am embarrassed. For him. By him. Like, Hawk's a source of great embarrassment to me. Great, Rome. So why is your EP? Why is he your EP? Because he does do things very well. There are certain things and certain aspects about this job that Hawk is very good at. And then there's certain other things that he does on a daily basis that embarrass me, his family, and himself. I'm working with him. Rome, I listened to Elk. I threw down on Tiger in a book in Laughlin, Nevada. If my wife knew how much, I'd be single today. Mike and Snowbird. Why? You guys should be partying. How about that one guy that threw down 85 grand on Tiger at 14-1 for a payoff of over a mil? Man, that is a big brass swing. 85 grand? And he got him at 14-1. How hard is that guy partying? That book took that hard. That book took that hard. That was their biggest payout ever for something like that. Dear Jim, give Honk Nation some bleeping credit for real. After 10 years straight of listening to gas bags, doubters, and haters chisel Tiger's headstone, maybe we can have 24 hours to celebrate. Thank you. Brett from Bugaha, triggered.
You give them some credit, I mean, for real.
War Tiger, not being bigger than the sport of golf, because he is the sport of golf. You see, Bags, that's exactly the type of thing I'm talking about. Listen, don't act, you Bags. Number one, don't act like you did something. Don't act like you won. You didn't. He did. Number two, don't act like somehow this guy had been wronged. Don't act like you knew. You didn't know. You did not know. He didn't know. He admitted 2 years ago he thought he'd never pick up a golf club ever again. So don't act like somehow you were wronged, that somehow you've been done all wrong, that you knew this was coming. You didn't know, and he didn't know, and all the heat that he took, he deserved. And now he's getting credit, rightfully so. I'm just saying, don't you interject yourself into this and bag the whole thing up and wreck it for everybody else, because some of you bags are. There's a difference between being a Tiger Woods fan and a Tiger bro and a Tiger bag and Tiger Honk Nation. Don't wreck it for everybody who wants to enjoy it for what it is. An amazing story. A great comeback story. This is why I led with the story and not you bags. But you bags are a part of this. And you're junking it all up. This guy. Dear Adam Hawk, in regards to the Masters, you are not the winner.
Andrew,
regards Maury Povich.
You are not the winner.
When I asked Hawk on the show earlier, why are you dressed like that? Why are you acting like that? How big of a win was this for you in your life? He said, the biggest. I said, why? You had nothing to do with it. He said, because I've been rooting really hard for 11 years. And it all paid off.
What?
And finally, a straight take. Rome, I know that Tiger just won the Masters after 14 years, but can we shine a little light on the choke jobs by the other guys? The leaderboard of killers went out and they crapped their pants. Hey, Frankie Moles, go get some scuba gear. Your green jacket is buried 20 feet deep at 12 and 15. Hey, Brooks, grab a snorkel and join him. At least Phil's fat ass ripped Matt Kuchar going down Magnolia Lane before he flamed out.
Fat ass.
Yes, Tiger won. But he won after all the other dudes saw the man in red and crapped their pants. These dudes spent all those years saying that they were ready for this guy to be back, and they weren't. I said it again or earlier, and I'll say it again. Tiger has been there before. Tiger knows everything about that track. Tiger has won there. Elk also said, it's one thing to win, but it's another to win at Augusta, to know how to win at Augusta. Tiger knows how to win at Augusta. And some of these other guys may have, but he thought his way around it. And the experience paid off. The course IQ paid off. The fact that he'd been there before paid off. And he believed in himself. And yeah, these guys did melt down on 12 repeatedly, and he didn't, because he had been there before. I don't think these guys are crapping themselves going forward like guys used to when they went up against him. He's 43. He's a 43-year-old man. I don't think that Brooks Koepka is going to look at Tiger and crap himself. I think they're going to look at him and say, hell yeah, this is cool. This is a guy we all looked up to. This is a guy who made it all possible for us. This is a guy we all admired. And this guy is still a guy who can get it done. He's back. Bring it on. These guys made poor choices. These guys were over-aggressive. But I don't think that they're crapping themselves going forward. I think they love it. He moves the needle. He makes it all exciting. He makes it all better. And now he's back. And he is back. It's going to be great. But I don't think they're crapping themselves. Poor execution, for sure. Bad decision-making, for sure. Let's talk some hockey really quickly. Three games into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to talk about somebody crapping themselves. The Tampa Bay Lightning are close to making history. The wrong kind of history. The worst kind of history. The kind of history you never live down. Columbus 3... Tampa nothing, as in games. The President's Trophy winners are on their freaking backs. A team that won more regular season games than any other in the history of the NHL just took three straight haymakers to the chin from John Tortorella's crew. Columbus spotted Tampa a three-goal lead in their own house in game one and then scored four straight to shock them and win. Then they jump all over Tampa and beat them down 5-1 in game two on Friday night. Then last night, with Tampa absolutely wounded and desperate to eat a playoff W, instead eats another Columbus fist when the Blue Jackets came home and defended their house with a macho win. Columbus 3, Tampa 1, the wrong side of history, only one game away. Once again, if you are not watching playoff hockey, you need to start. If you're missing what Columbus is doing right now, that's on you, because it's incredible. Like, imagine the Warriors team, Golden State, winning 73 games and then going out in the first round and getting worked in games 1, 2, and 3. Imagine Mike and Scott getting to the playoffs after winning 72 straight with Phil Jackson and getting the hands in round 1. This is what's happening right now with Tampa. And they're not fluky wins either. These aren't fluky bounces. This is Columbus feeding it to the Lightning and doing it over and over and over again. I said it when I previewed the playoffs. The Blue Jackets were not an ordinary 8. These dudes have got talent everywhere. They've got a goalie standing on his head. And they've got a coach with so much swagger and so much confidence. You can see it in every single shift that these guys take. And if you think these dudes are taking their foot off Tampa's throat, then check the Q&A to start Torts' post-game presser after last night's win.
John, you guys are up 3-0 on a great hockey team. What do you think you're most proud of right now when you look at your team and what they're doing?
Well, I'm not too sure I'm interested in talking about how proud I am about the team right now. I'm happy the way we have gone about our business. Did some really good things tonight. But we just got to get – I'm just not going to get into – we have a lot of work to do.
John, your power.
Be really careful here.
We have to be really careful here. Who, the team or the media? Or both? Or the rest of the world? Probably took everything in this guy's power not to reach into that dude's chest and put his heart in a doggy bag. What are you most proud of? After 3 wins. You know, you say that to any coach, you're going to get some blowback. But you ask that question to this guy, with this highlight reel, given what happened to them last year, that reporter is lucky that he left the rink alive.
Ask me a question. Don't say talk about it. Ask me a question, please.
Specifically, like, tangibly on the ice, what do you think that means?
Holy crap. Give me another question, please.
I couldn't be more disgusted and disappointed.
It's disgusting.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
You're not?
No.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll speculate.
You speculate, be as sarcastic as you can be, as you usually are.
I don't know what to tell you. Did you ask them? Did you ask them any questions? I don't know why I always have to answer these questions. You should ask them occasionally. No, I don't think the Sabres are a hungry team. I thought we stunk. And I'm not going to give Buffalo any credit.
Have you ever fought before?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Why?
Are you challenging me now?
No, I'm not challenging you.
Okay.
You're probably beat up in the bus stop most of the time.
I think so, huh?
It's a lack of respect.
What are you asking me? Your questions are way too complicated.
I thought it was probably one of the worst hockey games I've been involved in.
He's playing in Coast Hockey League, and he takes up National Hockey League. He'll get suspended. Who cares?
You're a great representative of the city.
You know that? Will you let these other guys... Just go stand somewhere else, would you please?
No, I won't.
Jennifer.
Are they in the room?
Yeah.
What'd they say? Tell me. Let me ask some questions here. What'd they say?
Right now, that's a huge goddamn goal he scored in the first period. That's how I describe it. Thank you.
John Tortorella has gone over to the Calgary Flames hallway.
Okay, he's got to calm down.
Yep.
Pretty much sums it up, huh?
He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything.
My gosh.
If you think that I'm just looking for a reason to play that montage, you're right. That's incredible. That thing gets more amazing to me every time I hear that. Hey, listen, I do have a crystal ball, though, right? Didn't I clearly say that Columbus was not an ordinary 8? Didn't I clearly and unequivocally state that they have skill and depth and that they were a tough draw? And that not only are they talented, they've got that scar tissue from last year. They know they can't let up. Remember last year, they were back home after having the Caps down 2-0. They had Washington on the ropes in overtime in game 3 with a chance to go up 3-0 on them. You don't forget that. I remember very clearly L.A., the Kings, before they won it all, had Montreal on the ropes way back in the day. My good friend Roy Malacher has never, ever lived that down. Never gotten over that. That's what happened to Columbus last year. They had the Caps on the ropes, and then they sat back and they watched them march all the way to the cup. That's why Torts said, we got to be really careful here. That's why nobody's popping bottles or shaking hands. It's because the closeout game is always the hardest one to win. Yes, the 3-0 comeback is one of the rarest in all sports, but it does happen in hockey. Once in 42, once in 75, and twice recently. The Kings ran down the Sharks a couple of years back, something I obviously saw coming. And then a couple of years before that, Philly did it to Boston. Not dead, can't quit. Not dead, can't quit. But Tampa's going to wish they were dead if they get swept out. I'm telling you, you can't win four in one night, man. One shift at a time. Kevin Weeks joins me. When we come back, we talk more about that series and all the others.